Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
All I can remember is Andrew Berry telling us that Kevin Stefanski gets to make the decisions when it comes to who starts and who plays and all those different things. And so Daryl telling us that it's an organizational decision, I thought was pretty fascinating, because that doesn't sound like Kevin Stefanski then gets to make those decisions when it comes. Maybe it's different because it's a rookie, and like the Deshaun thing was way over everybody's head because that had so much more riding on it. They gave it the 3 first round picks and all those things. Their organization was banking on him being good because it thought that was gonna sort of get the nose up on the plane for their quarterback situation after all these years. So maybe that's just an extenuating circumstance, which I guess is my phrase of the day. I don't know. But this is a rookie where you're like, we want to make sure we protect him. And maybe some people feel like this isn't the right time, and some people feel like it is the right time. But that does go against the idea that Kevin Stefanski is calling those shots.
I think part of this boils down to the way that Daryl thinks about it too, right? Like, if that's the case, Daryl also thinks that once you switch to the rookie quarterback, and I don't feel, out of line paraphrasing, because I've heard Daryl say this multiple times to both myself and the other shows, is that that's sort of the white flag on the season. Like, that is your indication to your locker room that we are done for the year. I think if that's the case, Kevin doesn't have that call. Right? Like, if they're like, hey, we're competing and we think Joe gives us the best chance to compete, you play Joe, and if you don't think Dylan's anywhere close, we'll make the call when he goes in. But that's probably more of a, hey, Kevin, we're going to step over your toes and tell you to bench Joe when you still want to play him, I think, more than the other way. Right? Like, if he thinks that Dylan gives you the best chance to win, well, I think you probably still have to get approval from, maybe people upstairs, but that's mostly a Kevin decision, I would think. Like, they talk about how this is a collaborative process and they involve everybody in the decision-making of the team. Like, I think everyone has a say. But I think at the end of the day, if Kevin goes, Dylan gives us the best chance to win and I think he's ready now, I think that's Kevin's call now.
I see what you're saying. And listen, I do ultimately think, like, this organization sells everything as a group decision. I mean, the Deshaun thing, we know, but Jimmy Haslam took the blame because he's the owner of the team. Some people probably felt that was enough to say it was his fault. At the end of the day, everything, I guess, falls in the owner's lap. So I guess you could say that about a lot of decisions that are made. We'll never get the full story on, like, was it Andrew Berry who was it like 60% Andrew Berry and, 30% Jimmy Haslam, or 60% Andrew Berry, 20% Jimmy Haslam, and 10% Kevin Stefanski? We'll never get like the full breakdown of like who really was pushing for Deshaun, I guess. Maybe one day there'll be a book about it once this regime's gone, who knows. But they say it's a collaborative effort on everything. So
yeah,
I can understand when
DePodesta is a thought partner, right? Like, it's everybody.
Yeah, that's
it's
I forgot about DePodesta. Partner, right? Yeah.
Like, but that's how I feel like that's how they've always viewed things. Like,
yeah.
I know, obviously, with the Deshaun thing, we have it as a very negative light, but I feel like this group's always talked about everything they do like that, where, hey, it's not just Jimmy's call. It's not just Kevin's call. Like, at the end of the day, yes, Kevin has the authority to be like, you guys don't think it should be Dylan, but I'm going to coach the team. It's my way. Like, if I want to start Dylan, you guys would
be okay
with that.
If it's a group decision and he doesn't make the call this week, then how much do we put that on Kevin Stefanski then? Like, how much can we blame him as people get mad and they're like, oh, well, Kevin stinks as a coach and, he's not getting anything out of this offense. If he's being hamstrung by the organization saying, you can't start Dylan Gabriel yet, how much can we really put that on Kevin Stefanski when it's all said and done?
I think the fact that we don't know how much of the processes behind closed doors, like, that's the person you pin it to. The same way that Who knows? Maybe Jimmy Haslam has his hand in the pot of who everybody's drafting. They tell you he doesn't.
You're saying the person you pin it to is Kevin Stefanski because we don't know?
Yeah. Like, okay. I have to not. Like, that's your head coach's decision. In the head coach's job title, it's who goes out onto the field and
starts.
So
basically, it's like, if you're not going to tell us who is have, you know, influencing these decisions, then it's just going to be, we're going to assume it's a you decision.
Yeah, I have to, right? Like, we, again.
He is kind of the mouthpiece for the team.
Yeah, largely. And we blame Andrew Berry for everything in drafting. I don't know if Kevin has a say in the draft, how much of a say he has. Yeah. I don't know how much of a say
Jimmy
Haslam
does. Sounded like he did more
does.
This year than previous. Years.
Yeah, like how much does it say does Jimmy Haslam have in the draft? They tell you like basically none, and it's all Andrew's idea on who they're going to take, and it's, you know, that collaborative effort, but Jimmy's not really involved. He's not the one making the calls. Okay, then I take the drafting, and where credit is due, I give it to Andrew Berry, and where criticism is due, I also give it to Andrew. Like, it's your job, it's in your job title. If you're not going to tell me how much of a say everybody has, then it lands on the guy whose job title it falls into, and quarterback is Kevin, so I have to pin it on Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, I at this point... And this actually, I think, opens up an interesting conversation about like where we all are at with Kevin in terms of evaluating him as a coach, right? Because, you know, I have always defended Kevin as a coach. I think he is a very good offensive mind in this game. I think he has certainly changed the culture in Cleveland. You can't let that can't be a reason you let somebody go because, well, hey, he did better than the previous 15 coaches we had and whatever that. So we're not going to, you know, he got to the playoffs. So we're not going to move on from him. If that's sort of where things are at. But I do think that it's every Flacco start, but I also just think it's like every week, the offense in general struggles. I think people start jumping more and more on the train of, you know, how much more of this can we sit here and like make excuses for Stefanski? He's at a really interesting crossroads right now. Again, I want to blanket this by saying, I don't think Jimmy Haslam moves on from either of these two guys in the power structure at the end of the season. I think he has basically given them a mulligan after the Deshaun thing, probably because there was multiple people influencing that decision.
No.
To see if they can fix this thing. I think there's a lot of things to like about Andrew Berry's draft class. Andrew Berry honestly might have saved both their jobs with the draft class that he has right now.
I said it last year. You can't fire Andrew Berry after this draft class.
No, but I also don't think you fire one or the other because I think these two are tied together based on their contracts and all those different things. So I think they get another year to see if they can, you know, get another great draft class that then turns the roster over quickly and gets things going in the right direction. Part of that might be finding another quarterback, whatever. But at the same time, all the things that Kevin Stefanski could hang, like I talked about the script sort of flipping here. Like last year it was, is Andrew Berry on the hot seat? This year it's more so is Kevin Stefanski on the hot seat. All the things that we could hang our hat on with Kevin Stefanski, I think have kind of gone to the wayside at this point. We used to be able to say, well, hey, he got the most out of Baker Mayfield. That's not a thing anymore. Baker's had now multiple seasons where he's put up better numbers away from Kevin Stefanski. We used to be able to say, well, hey, he can get the most out of these average looking quarterbacks. That hasn't been the case either. Yeah, 2023 was a miracle that he won games with P.J. Walker and Joe Flacco at 38, even though Joe Flacco at that stage still looked a little bit better than he does right now, or maybe not even a little bit better. He actually looked a lot better.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever other pieces and parts for quarterbacks that he put out there that season. But it's not like we're not seeing that anymore. Like we're not seeing those same results where he's making these guys that are like average quarterbacks look good and the offense is at least functional. This is bad. And at some point, there's nowhere else for that to fall other than on Kevin Stefanski. So as much as I've defended Kevin, and I don't defend him for the ancillary things or like the non-tangible things like, oh, he's got two Coach of the Year awards. We can't get rid of him. Like, I think that stuff is very arbitrary and silly. I've defended him because I do think there's reasons why we've seen the success over the years in his offense, and there's signs that it works. But I think like there is. I think patience is running thin with every Joe Flacco start, with every start. But it's not just that. It's every week the offense looks like this, and I don't know. Again, I don't know if a quarterback change completely fixes it. I think more and more people start to go into the camp of I'm done with Kevin Stefanski.
So I do think Kevin's a good coach. Like heart of hearts, I think he's a good football coach. I also think that no matter what coach you look at, no matter how great they've been, they all have flaws, right? And I think Kevin's flaw is showing very bright right now, which is the fact that he tends to be a little stubborn in the way that he does things. At least it appears that way. Like we talk about giving up the idea of play calling when things weren't working when Deshaun was here, when they just changed the entire offense. He was very stubborn before he would willingly give up the play calling. And ultimately probably made that decision, even though we knew it wasn't going to work with Ken Dorsey, and it clearly didn't. Like, he probably made that decision a little bit too late. Because that wasn't your offense. That's not the offense you're used to calling. It might have elements of your offense, but it wasn't his offense. It was more Ken and Ken Dorsey's offense in the way that he knows how to run it. He didn't want to give that up. Right now, Joe Flacco, I think you can clearly say the offense is not functioning well enough to win football games, continues to roll Joe over and over and over again and just expect a different result that's not going to work. He's been stubborn in the way that he likes to move. Even just the organization being stubborn, going back to Deshaun, and because they did, getting rid of Alex Van Pelt, who clearly was a big part of making this offense work. Like, it's stubborn, and I want to do things my way, but right now your way isn't working. Like, you need to be the coach that flies and is able to adapt right now. Sure, the quarterback change might not fix things, Spencer. Like, it really might. You can roll out Dylan Gabriel. It might look as bad as it has the last few weeks. Okay, but at least you tried. Right. At least you gave me a difference. Right now, it's just you're rolling out Joe. I know what Joe is right now. In this exact offense, doesn't work. Period. There's nothing you can do to this offense right now that makes it work that you can actually do unless you want to go out and trade every draft pick you have for the next 4 years to acquire talent. You're not going to be able to make it work this year.
Yeah, I'm more so worried. I'm less worried about, like, in the now, like, does a quarterback change, you know, fix everything? Like, we had that conversation. I'm sure we'll circle back to it later as well. I'm more so just saying in general, like, all the things that Kevin Stefanski could hang his hat on, I think, aren't there right now. And maybe that's why they need a quarterback change now, because maybe that's the light at the end of the tunnel that gets the offense looking at least somewhat better, and you can still tell that he's that good offensive coach is in there. But we're going on now 2 years where the offense just looks, I mean, anemic. Like, can't do anything, can't move the football. And he's supposed to be this great offensive mind. He's the one calling the plays again now. And so I don't blame people who are over and frustrated with Kevin Stefanski. I actually think there's an even larger question in this, which we can ask here, 216-474-9092. Is it more about is the blame more on the fact that Kevin Stefanski doesn't have a lot to work with, or is it at this point solely on is it more so on just Kevin Stefanski because he's had 6 years to get this thing figured out and he hasn't figured it out, and they've gotten worse as time's gone on? We'll talk about that. We'll get to your calls on it. We got Nathan Zagura set to join us in about 25 minutes as well. Keep it locked. It's Spencer German. It's Jake Volnick. Back in 5 minutes on The Fan. We sort of continued the Kevin Stefanski quarterback conversation off the air after that last segment, where we were sort of talking about, like, the hole he's digging himself in with Joe Flacco. There's a number of different angles to kind of take this. Like, one that I pitched of, like, you know, is it about that Stefanski doesn't have a lot of help right now, and that's why the offense isn't good, or, like, he's only doing what he has to work with? Or is it about, like, Stefanski's supposed to be able to elevate those guys, and that's why he's here? And I do think all those things play into, like, the psyche of a Browns fan right now as they evaluate where Kevin Stefanski's at. My biggest point is just, at some point, like, it's the Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are, right? Like, at some point, I understand why fans are getting fed up with Kevin Stefanski, because we've made a lot of excuses for him over the years, and a lot of them are valid excuses. I'm not saying they're not. I've made those excuses because I like Kevin Stefanski. But at some point, like, a coach has to just wear what their record is. And right now, that's not good. But on a larger scale, we went kind of back and forth on, like, if the saving grace is a quarterback change for him, because I think we both agree the longer you start Flacco, the worse it's going to be for him in terms of criticism. Like, people are going to continue to say, why aren't you changing quarterbacks? Why are you starting this guy? This isn't going to help you win. It's going to dig him, quote unquote, dig himself into a deeper hole with the fan base, because people already are losing trust in him. I think there's another side of this, though, where, like, the quarterback change could also be worse for him too. So I don't know. Like, Jay, what do you say when it in terms of, like, the conversation on how much Flacco versus Gabriel digs a deeper or lesser hole for Kevin Stefanski in terms of how he's viewed with the fan base and his job security?
Well, if, for me, Joe continues to dig the deeper hole because you've seen it. It's a 40-year-old. You're not growing. You're not pushing towards anywhere. You're not finding anything out. You're just rolling the 40-year-old quarterback out over and over again while it doesn't work. The only reason you play a 40-year-old guy is if you think it still works. There's a reason Aaron Rodgers has a job right now at the Steelers. He can win football games. Like, he goes out and wins, so you continue to play the 40-year-old and you're okay with it. Joe's not doing that. Like, Joe doesn't do anything. At least Dylan Gabriel gives you more. Now, I mean, to your point, I think it does open the door for more criticism if it fails. But if you're Kevin, would you not rather have your entire playbook, your entire arsenal open to you with a guy like Dylan Gabriel, where I think right now, like, you don't have that. Like, Joe's not running bootlegs. Like, yeah. that is such a big part. And I understand, like, it seems so minuscule when you just say it. But I think that's such a big part of Stefanski's offense is the ability to, okay, you know, we have now some success in the run game that we've seen over the last 2 weeks with Quinshon. If I can build off that and get my quarterback moving to the point where it's going to buy him more time when my offensive line doesn't have it, like, at least you have that. If it doesn't work with Dylan, it doesn't work. Sure, there's criticism open for that because this is the type of quarterback it's supposed to work with Kevin. But I'd rather at least go out, you know, swinging. If people are going to criticize me, at least it's with a guy that I trust and with my playbook available to me, where right now it's, Joe, get a five-step drop and hope that, yeah, you know, somebody doesn't hit you in the mouth in 2 seconds.
There's 100% validity in going out swinging with, like, the guys that you want or the guys that you think are best or whatever. Like, I 100% subscribe to that in this sport and other sports. That's fair. I will say, and listen, we don't know what the offense will look like with Gabriel. We imagine it'll look at least better because you can do a little bit more with him being a little bit more mobile out of the pocket, bootlegs, things like that that you mentioned.
Probably turns the ball over slightly less.
But my argument, and this is what we kind of got into off the air, is like, okay, let's say it's slightly better than what they're doing now, but you're still getting boat raced. You're still going three and out a bunch of throughout the game. You're still, like, you're a little bit more in games, but you're still losing most of these games and you're still struggling to score 20 points regularly and all these different things. My thing is Kevin Stefanski being the offensive mind that he's touted as and being the coach of this football team who's calling the plays, fans expect him to be, like, really good. Like, they're holding to a standard of, like, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur. Like, those are the names that he's put in conversations with. And so
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
So if it's only slightly better with Dylan Gabriel, I almost feel like, again, this is going to sound like I'm arguing to not make a quarterback change, and that's not what I want, because I do think they need to change something. If the offense is rock bottom right now with Joe Flacco, and the difference is that you put Dylan Gabriel in there and you get slightly above rock bottom, great. Yeah, you're seeing progress. But I just think the standard for Kevin Stefanski is a lot higher than that, and the standard is especially going to be higher for Kevin Stefanski if he's now playing the quarterback that he loved. He sat up there and told us has this supercomputer brain, and they had great meetings with him out in Oregon, and he was the guy they had their eyes on that they wanted in the third round. They took Shador in the fifth because they really liked Dylan in the third and all these different things. Like, he was the guy they had their eyes on. Okay, so now you helped pick the quarterback. You're now starting the quarterback. And if the offense is only slightly better than it is right now, I think that ultimately will look bad on Stefanski, will actually look worse on Stefanski than it does right now with Flacco. Not arguing they shouldn't make a change. Again, I want to be clear on that because you have to at least give it a shot. You're right about that. But I just think if it goes poorly, I think that only exponentially increases the amount of frustration, anger, upset fans that are mad because they're like, who is this coach and is he really worth the squeeze at this point if we're in year six and now he has at least one version of a quarterback that he was supposed to be his guy and the offense still looks like this, like it's barely getting off the ground now. Like,
yeah, Spencer, it's turn around and like look in the mirror, guys. Like, what is he working with? Like, if it looks slightly better, what does slightly better look at? It still might look like three and outs because you don't have an offensive line that's worth a damn to protect the guy. It might still look bad because Jerry Jeudy can't hold on to a football and, you know, Cedric Tillman's hurt, Jamari Thrash isn't that good, Isaiah Bond hasn't flashed all that much, it's looked okay. But like, you still don't have a ton of talent. It's never going to look like a good offense. Kevin's not going to make a quarterback change this year. You couldn't go to anybody that's available in the league, whether via realistic trade, this offseason where you could have actually paid somebody, or drafting anyone where you put the guy in and all of a sudden it looks great. The offense was doomed to be bad. They were never going to look good. But you don't have to look good right now with this defense. If you're looking to be competitive, you have to cut down on the turnovers and find ways to extend some of your drives. Right now, there's too many three and outs, and Joe's floating the ball over the middle of the field directly to his safety, and it's like, oh, that was my fault. Set actually ran the right route, but I had the wrong read on it, and here's a turnover. Right? Like, so much of what has kicked them out of these games, especially when we talk about the Ravens in week two and this most recent week against the Lions, has been the fact, oh, you mean that the Lions capitalized when you turned the ball over, and they had a special teams return for a punt return for a touchdown. It's like, that's what's killed you so far. Right when you've protected the ball and left the defense,
and maybe
with
that's the
field.
Biggest thing Dylan Gabriel gives you is like maybe if he protects the football better, then you give yourself a puncher's chance for sure. I just think though, again, I'm not saying it's fair, but this is where the Andrew Berry and the Kevin Stefanski conversations intersect, because you went right to after I bring up like if it only looks slightly better with Dylan Gabriel, their guy, that's an even bigger indictment on Stefanski, I think, in the long run for people. And then you bring up, well, hey, what is he working with? Well, this is where they intersect, because this is the problem. You're in year six and your roster hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. Like, you've had more than enough time for Kevin Stefanski to make clear, this is what I want to build. This is what I want my offense to look like. And Andrew Berry to then fulfill that by filling out the roster with the right pieces and parts. And they clearly haven't done that. And you could argue, like, early on in this tenure, when they go to the playoffs in 2020, which is their most successful playoff run, obviously, that was with a lot of players from previous regimes.
Yeah.
Miles Garrett, who's still here, is their star player, and he's from a previous regime. Nick Chubb at that time was one of the stars of this team. Denzel Ward is not part of this regime. He's still one of their core players on this team. The entire offensive line that now is aged out, they were all previously here before, and that's part of the reason you had success both in 2020 and in 2023.
Yeah, but this is the thing. You extended him. You gave him the, basically the pseudo pass for Deshaun Watson. Okay, well, then I have to view this year as what you came in with and what you produced. Who are they going to go out and get this year that was going to change their offense and make them so much better?
I'm not saying they could have.
But that's the thing. The offense was bad, and it got worse because you messed up the quarterback. You didn't have money. This is the reset. The offense was going to be bad. The defense had an opportunity to be good. Barry locked in the defensive side of things, right? Yeah. Mason Graham looks good. Carson Schlesinger looks good. The offensive pieces he's picked up looked good. But they came in with net nothing. They got better. Like, again, the offense is never going to look good. And if Dylan Gabriel is, quote unquote, their guy, I'm sorry, third round pick being your guy is not that much.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't mean anything to me.
But my bigger point in all this is just like, I understand why fans are at a point right now where, as we continue to say that we don't think anybody's going to lose their jobs, where they're sort of ready to see somebody lose their job. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, I get that side of it, but...
Because I think they're annoyed with the offense hasn't gotten better, the roster hasn't gotten better generally in 6 years. Finally, we can say Andrew Berry has a knocked-out-of-the-park draft class. At least it looks that way right now. Maybe that gets even better if Dylan Gabriel's great. Sure, fine. But the fact that it's taken this long, and these are the results in the football field, and I get you have the big Deshaun Watson nothing burger in the middle of that, that was their decision, though, that they all had hands in... We have gone back and forth on the digging yourself a hole thing. I think bigger picture, though, as I think about where the fan base is at with both these guys, I understand where they're coming from, where, people are starting to, I think, get fed up with Kevin. If they weren't fed up already, because there are certainly fans that have been fed up with Kevin Stefanski, I think this year there's like even more glaring responses to like that people are over the Kevin Stefanski experience. And I think they've been over the Andrew Berry experience for a while, but there's less of that right now because he had such a good draft class.
Yeah, again, if you want to punish that side of it for saying they should have been gone before this year started, I can't argue with you on that, right? Like, I personally wouldn't have done it because, again, I think there's still the talent and something there for both of them. But if you said they should have been gone before this year, sure. Like, you have all the right in the world to say that. If you have to basically do what the Browns are doing right now, which is not like dumping it and saying none of that happened, but being like, you kind of get a pass for that and let's build from here. Like, again, the offense was going to be bad. The only thing I have a gripe right now with Kevin is, the offense doesn't look good. Make a quarterback change. If it looks better, at least you improved it. At least you did something to try to make it better.
Yeah. I think all this to say, people are... rightfully, at some point that you have to own where the organization is and the records and the results that you're getting on the field. And you know, Andrew Berry would say that that's true. Kevin Stefanski would say that that's true. And so I understand where fans are coming from with all this. Let's go to Dan in Amherst. What's up, Dan?
What's going on, Dan?
Hey, guys. First of all, Dan, you gave me so much to talk about. as far as Andrew Berry goes, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while.
Well, he found a pretty good number of acorns, though, this year. Let's be honest. Like, he found at least three acorns. Okay. Maybe four. Okay. I mean, Harold Fan is good, right? Yeah. Four.
Okay. So when they were brought in, did they both stand there and say, in 6 years, we're going to have a good draft class, and that's what you got to remember? No. I've been watching these guys play for longer than you guys have been alive. And the thing is, I've seen other teams who finish at the top of their game, go into the end of the draft, and come out still on the top of their game year in and year out. It's not just what happened with Deshaun Watson and the draft picks we gave away. It's the fact that Baker Mayfield's playing pretty good now somewhere else. It's the fact that they knew we needed receivers and offensive linemen, and they don't have them. So we got a good defense now. Oh, that's great. But when you don't have a good offense, it does nothing. And here's what I called. I don't. I'll preface that. And by the way, happy tribe, weekend or playoff week.
Yeah.
But here's the question. I don't trust what I'm going to ask you. Do you trust these guys, this front office, all of them, going into next year's draft with two number ones? I don't. I think the quicker they move on to Gabriel and we can see exactly what Stefanski saw in him, if that works out, great. I don't think it will. And if they have to go to, if they have to go all the way down the line to Sanders, who they didn't really want, and he plays okay, I mean, that tells me a lot about the guys, but I don't trust them.
I gotcha.
Two number ones.
All right, Dan. Yeah, appreciate the call, man. We got to let you go. What I'll say real quick in response to that, and I actually think this is like a really interesting topic from here, because we were asking that question going into the draft, after the draft, like, do you trust Andrew Berry with two firsts next year? I think what's interesting is, what is your trust level now with Andrew Berry now that he's actually had a good draft class with two firsts? Like, how much did it change from last year where most people were like, not a chance in hell I want this guy drafting me a franchise quarterback, to, well, hey, he finally got a bunch of guys in here that are good players. Do you trust him more now? I think that's kind of an interesting topic. We don't have to have that today. That's for down the line. But I do think that's an interesting thing off of Dan's conversation there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you have to have a little bit more trust there, at least something.
I would say so.
Yeah. I certainly do.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, though. Berry kind of has saved both their jobs in some respects. Nathan Zagura, he is the color analyst for the Browns. By the way, if you're on hold, I want to get to your calls. You got a bunch of people lining up. We got people who have somebody who has a Joe Flacco hot take, somebody who's calling Kevin Stefanski a coach, comparing him to a coach in college who can't win big games. We'll get to all you guys coming up, but Nathan Zagura joins us next in 5 minutes on The Fan.
Obviously, we're waiting here to be joined by Browns' Nathan Zagura. I'm interested to hear Nathan's opinions on the quarterbacks, if we're being honest, and just sort of where they stand. Because, like, it's obvious this team needs a spark, Spencer, but I just don't know. Like, is quarterback that spark right now, right? Like, that is the large question that obviously Kevin's left up in the air. It's like, is that the thing that needs to change, or is that the thing that sets you back?
Well, and I mentioned, like, Kevin, in his answer about the quarterback thing, is basically saying, it's more than one person. He's hinting at the idea that there's a lot more wrong with this offense than just the quarterback spot. So I actually want to find out from Nathan, like, what does he think the biggest issue on offense is right now? Like, is it the quarterback position? So we'll see when we get in contact with Nathan here in a second. While we're waiting, let's try to get to some of these phones. Joe in Central Pennsylvania, who has an interesting comp for Kevin.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Kevin Stefanski, what you got, Joe?
Joe might not be there.
Joe,
I had
you there?
A lot of faith for Joe. I was interested in this.
Oh, man, Joe. Your comment had me dying during the last segment. Unfortunately, he was the James Franklin of callers, I guess. That's who he said. He said Kevin Stefanski is a fraud, and he was the James Franklin of NFL coaches.
Which,
so,
by the way, not a fair comparison, right? Can we agree on that? Like, James Franklin's big thing is he can't win the big game.
I don't get that. Kevin Stefanski won a bunch of big games in 2023 with, like, paper clips and rubber bands for her offensive line. Like, I don't.
It's also, I mean, he's won multiple playoff
he
games.
He also went to the playoffs twice.
He's won a playoff game. He's gone to multiple
James Franklin did make the one playoff last year. He had the easiest path, but, you know, he made the playoff last year, so he's got that. But yeah, I don't know if I agree with that take, but I was curious to hear how he was going to get there. That's for sure. Here's somebody else who's got a take, Tom and Wycliffe, who says he has a hot Joe Flacco take. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on. First-time caller, long-time listener. I don't know if it's so much as a Joe Flacco as the Browns in general, I guess, now that I think about it. But, you know, listen to what you guys have been saying since I got in the car driving home. You guys have some valid points. I mean, definitely yesterday was ugly, right? I mean, it's kind of just like a continuation of what we've been seeing this season. But I will say this, you know, taking a step back, taking a deep breath here, looking at this team, I think those first 6 weeks, we all kind of looked at the schedule and said, well, you know, they're probably only going to muster up maybe 2 wins out of it. And, you know, despite that loss, it's like, really, one, who had us, you know, beating the Lions? And also, it's like, we're going into playing the Minnesota Vikings next week, and they look like a totally beatable game, or team, rather. So it's like, you know, we could be 2-3 going into to play a very beatable Pittsburgh team. And then we're right there, you know, even if you lose that game, you're what? You're 3-4?
Yeah, 2-4 coming out of the Pittsburgh game if you won the Minnesota one, yeah.
That you probably should be 3-3 because you probably should have beat the Bengals too.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. But I just feel like, you know, I feel like we might be overreacting as a whole. And I just say this, too, with the Joe Flacco part is, you know, does overnight, did Dylan Gabriel or Sanders, you know, become Dan Marino and Joe Montana? It's like, I don't think that they give you any more of a opportunity to win a game than they did, you know, to start at the beginning of the season. I still think Joe Flacco's the guy. I think the other thing you have to take into consideration, too, is, and I don't know if you guys have acknowledged on this, but since I got in the car, I haven't heard it talked about, but he was the most pressured quarterback yesterday, mm-hmm. this past week. I mean, we'll see what happens tonight, obviously, but, you know, he's got two backup tackles in there, and it's, I mean, what do we expect, you know, at the end of the day? So there definitely is a room for improvement here, but at the end of the day, I think still Joe Flacco is the guy. I think we're all overreacting. And I think we're all kidding ourselves by saying, let's start, you know, Sanders or Dylan.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Tom, we appreciate the call. This ultimately comes down to, you know, what level of play you're getting from Joe Flacco and what level of play you think you're going to get from one of your rookie quarterbacks. And that is the big mystery. It's why rookie quarterbacks are the currency of the NFL. Because if you have one, you can sell to your fan base that there's hope. If you don't have one, you're selling them on the hope that you're going to find one pretty soon in the next draft, right? Like, they're the currency of the NFL. So if the Browns feel that Dylan's at a point where they think he can function the offense and it's going to be better and that he is at that point, then yeah, I can see why they would probably want to start him over Joe Flacco. It goes back to the root of the conversation we've been having throughout the show, Jake, already. But, you know, I think it's less... You can't not make the decision to start him because you're like, well, hey, it can't just be about because, you know, Joe Flacco's status quo and whatever. Like, at some point there comes a drop off where you have to just admit, like, we have to try something different here. And for a lot of people, I think that's this week. I'm not saying it shouldn't even be this week. As I've said throughout the show, my main point is just if they're prioritizing a young quarterback's development like they say they are, I don't know if, like, the week where, as he's still adapting to life in the NFL and, like, the schedule of a week to week, if, you know, thrusting him in when you're about to go across to England to play a game, it makes the most sense. That doesn't mean they won't do it. I just feel like that's not really advantageous to it's an extenuating circumstance that you can sort of avoid for now. And then I think all bets are off next week.
I just think so much less of this. And I took interest in the fact that he was like, it's not like one of these quarterbacks became Dan Marino, right? I agree. It's the problem of what we thought you were getting out of Joe and what you're actually getting out of Joe. That's the big thing that's driving this decision.
Yeah, true.
Because even though the record might spell out at the end of this that, hey, 2-4, right? Like, and that's what we were basically all thinking. That wouldn't be that bad of a result if you went 2-4 over these first six games while you actually looked at them on paper. It's how they looked. And that matters, right? Because it's not just, oh, well, they're losing these games, but, you know, Joe's putting up points and the defense is only up their end, or the turnovers are just being the absolute thing. You know, he's making critical turnovers at the wrong moment. That's what I expected. I expected you to get into a couple of shootouts and be like, you know what you got out of Joe Flacco? It's kind of what you expected. It's a problem that the games that you're losing look so bad. The games that you won, or the game that you've won, has still looked so bad. You've lost in a way that you didn't expect to lose. They've looked so bad in a way that you did not expect them to look. That is the real kicker here. Is that it's not about the rookie quarterbacks looking so great or turning into something they're not. It's about what you thought you were getting out of Joe is so much more than what you're actually getting out of him.
Yeah, and I do think there's another level of, like, you have to weigh where your team is at too, which, you know, if they truly feel it's the CJ Stroud dilemma. Like, if they truly feel that putting Dylan Gabriel behind that offensive line is going to ruin him, nobody. The caller said they didn't become Dan Marino and Joe Montana. Nobody's expecting him to be Joe Montana or Dan Marino. Like, that's not the point. But can you set them up for success with the guys that are out there to, you know, look the best that they can look and actually develop? That's the key thing too. That's the thing the Browns have to weigh. And I think that comes down to, for Stefanski, are the problems on offense mostly quarterback related, or are the problems on offense more so offensive line and other things, drop passes and all that related? If the answer is the offensive line, maybe that's another reason why they wait a week. Maybe they wait a week just to get Cam Robinson a little more acclimated, and then they can start him at tackle, and then they feel a little bit better about it. I don't know, but I just like that. That's why I think. To Daryl's point, it's not like an easy decision, and it probably does become an organizational thing, because you got to figure out what's best for, yes, both the organization to win now, but also for this rookie quarterback that you're hoping can give you something, because you use a third-round pick on him.
If you think it's not quarterback at this point, one, I've watched enough to tell you it's enough quarterback that making a change might help you, and it's like those other things aren't getting fixed, right? Like, Jerry Judy's not all of a sudden going to bloom, and there's no wide receiver on this roster that's just going to ignite and help and be so much better of a pass catcher.
The offensive line isn't getting. I mean, you made a trade, so maybe that helps somewhat. That's the one thing you can do to fix it, right? But that's more so probably a off season thing, is fixing the offensive line. Like, you're kind of just piecing it together as you go. I said that yesterday after the game. Like, a lot of these things aren't just going to magically get fixed no matter who's a quarterback. I will say, like, as much as it's wrong with Joe Flacco, it's not like bad offensive lines can't ruin quarterbacks. And I mean, again, C.J. Stroud is the example I keep going back to, but that's a perfect example, because C.J. Stroud was being talked about as a top 10 quarterback a couple years ago. And because his offensive line is in shambles, he looks awful. He looked pretty good yesterday, because they shut out the Titans. But beyond that, like, that quarterbacks can be ruined by bad offensive lines. Joe Flacco's late in his career. He's not getting ruined. He's probably just old. But I'm just saying, you know, the offensive line is certainly contributing to a lot of the things that are wrong with Flacco's game right now, too, on top of the fact that he looks old and he just doesn't look like he's the same quarterback he was in even 2023. So, 216-474-0092. The lead coming up at 5, unless we find out Nathan Zagura is going to join us. We'll see what the status is on Nathan. If not, though, we'll have the lead for you coming back. Plus, we still got to talk about Jerry Jeudy, and if you still believe he can be a number one wide receiver. Plus, on the Guardians front, Jake asked Daryl about 1 o'clock games, and I'm just confused. Are people still upset about this at this point? We'll talk about it coming up on 92 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.